Tuesday. I want to begin today with a couple questions, but I've got a disclaimer. Outbursts during the message are welcome. If they're in this list. Amen? Okay. Woohoo. Those are okay. You know, preach it. That's all right. But Eric Hurley is not here. What is not allowed, elbowing will not be allowed. Okay. Blows below the belt will not be allowed. This message this morning is for men. I'm not going to apologize for that. It's Father's Day. Guys, this message is for you. Above that, this message is for me. Ladies, you are not totally out of this. All right? Those of you who are fathers, raise your hands. Okay? Ladies, woohoo. All right? Because with every father, biologically, there is a mother. All right? Those two definitely go together. And kids, it takes two. All right? Here's the question. If I were up here and I were to ask you kids, how many of you would like to take home the perfect father today? Would you like it? Yes. Right? Who wants a perfect father? Yeah, we do. Ladies, how many of you like to take home the perfect husband? Three of you, okay? And the rest of you are lying. But I want you to think, the last question is for guys, how many of you want to go home a mediocre dad? We live in a society where if we look at commercials on TV, we look at the TV shows, guys are portrayed as doofuses, aren't they? We live in a society where if that were turned on its ear and commercials portrayed ladies like they were idiots, the world would come unglued. The question is why? The message this morning is one that Satan does not want to happen. Trust me, I've been living through it this week. Because statistically speaking, if one of you children or young people come to Christ in your family and you're first, chances are small that the rest of your family will A, come to church, and B, be changed for God. If the initial person who comes to Christ is the mother in that family, chances are larger that eventually the family will come. But when you change that dynamic to dad, that God gets a hold of his heart and changes it, it's dramatic, the impact on the family. Satan hates that. So I want to share with you today some things that are not going to give you the perfect dad. They're not going to give you the perfect husband. But we're going to talk about some of the tools in the tool chest. You know, if looking behind me, oh, pretty. I asked Mike for pictures and you put flowers on it. It should have been a football or something, but it's okay. We'll take it because that's kind of garden-like. You know, once upon a time, Adam and Eve messed up. We've been paying the price ever since. Adam was charged with tending his garden. Today, we're going to talk about that garden. That garden is his family. It's your family. How do we tend, how do we live a life that really makes a difference for our family, our society, and for God's kingdom? You know, like it or not, men, God created us to steer our families. He created us to be the heavy. It's not to command our wives. It's not to ride roughshod over them. Is to lead by example. Today I'm going to share only two verses with you today. And for me, that's odd because normally I give you chapter after chapter after chapter. So this is backwards for me. We're going to share two verses today. They are the two most contentious verses in the entire scripture. Strong, powerful. You know, how do we live lives as a father in a way that's successful, that impacts our family? I think there are two parts of the dynamic. We're going to look at both of them. First, the first one that we look at is how we relate to our wives. Our children are influenced most by the relationship we have with our wife. And, you know, put the application away, it works the other way around. Wife and husband. The stability that our children get come from that relationship. We can't neglect that. As we talk about being a father and doing it effectively. That's number one. Number two is how we relate to our children. The two verses I want to share today, and the first one is in 1 Peter 3. Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you to the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. I want to really focus on the opening part of that. Think about this scripture. And as we do this, it's like, okay, ladies, plug your ears. Okay, everyone, pretend to plug your ears. Guys, you may want to, don't plug them for them. Guys, do you understand your wives? No hands. What in the world is Peter talking about? I looked at this scripture and it's like, man, how do I relate this? Because I've been married to my loving, adoring wife for 31 years. Someone plugged Nan's ears. I'm still trying to figure her out. That's not what Peter's talking about here. But you know what? It's a whole lot of fun trying to figure her out. It really is. We don't have all the answers. And I think about Peter. You know, we look in Scripture at Peter, and he's the one that's always impetuous. He's always the one running before he thinks. He's always the one that puts his foot in his mouth, and he's saying, live with your wives in an understanding way. Peter needed this. Can you imagine the dynamics with Mrs. Peter once he started living this way? Wow. The change. Peter did not figure her out. I guarantee he took that one to his death. What Peter was looking at and understanding, what we need to think about as husbands and fathers, as we model this for our kids, is we want to know how to live with our wife in a way that we understand what she feels when she feels it. We understand her weaknesses as well as our own. We understand the things that make her live up. We understand the things that keep her in love with us. Those are good things. Peter needed to figure that out. Us as fathers, we need to live that with our wives, model that for our children. The second verse, you know, and I think about this one as Paul wrote this one in Ephesians chapter 6. From what we know about Paul, Paul was not married, had no kids. And Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 and verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. All right, kids, plug your ears. All right, got it? Dads, how many times have our kids come unglued this week? Okay. Some of you need two hands. Do not provoke your children. NIV uses the word exasperate. It's bigger. We're guys. I like provoke. What does that mean? And what in the world is Paul saying? Paul didn't have any kids. Paul had a lot of children in the faith. Paul knew the dynamics that made a family work. Part of me looks at this, and I think Paul may have experienced a dad who wasn't all he should have been. Perhaps Paul lived a life as a young man where he was exasperated. We don't know. And dads, how do we live out this verse? You know, I looked up, you know, the words provoke and exasperate. And I get this big list, you know, to purposely stir up, to incite, to anger, to annoy, irritate. I really like that one. Enrage. We've all done it. Now, what this verse is not talking about, this verse isn't talking about you kids when you have a hissy fit because you don't get your way. That's not exasperation. That's you living your own sin nature. What Paul's talking about here is, dads, how do you deal with that? How do we speak into the lives of our children? How do we speak into the lives of our wife? These are some heady things. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to preach two verses today. But think about this, and I want us to, you know, really look at how we do this. And the analogy I want to give you today is, you know, as we look at how these dynamics work, you know, I want us to think about being the proper dad and how we care for our wife and how we care for our kids. It's a two-pronged fork. And in the words of the, you know, the immortal Yogi Berra, who once said, when you find a fork in the road, take it. Pretty obscure. Does that make sense to you? There's no clear choice as to which fork to take, but I'm going to contend today as we live our lives as dad, if we don't take the right fork, we've taken the wrong one. We can love life larger, better, greater. We can influence our family, or we can be mediocre. There are two choices. You know, quite often we find men, as they're taken to a crisis period in their life, that when they're this close to being able to make the right choice, they bail. Because it's going to be hard. The stuff we see in these two verses is difficult at best. Most men, you know, we look at society, it's no wonder they're portrayed as doofuses on TV. Because there are a lot of guys that don't get it. We're called to be the other ones. We're called to take the high road. And as we do this, you know, and Mike, just leave that one right up forever. We're going to just leave that up. I want us to really think about this. And going back to the garden theme, there are three things that we want to do and that make these two verses easier in our lives as men. And as we tend our gardens, there are three things that we need to do as fathers. We need to water the garden. We need to weed our garden. And sometimes we need to plant fences around it or hedges. I purposely left fertilizing out of it, okay? But watering, what in the world am I thinking about watering? Watering, you're adding, you know, the positive things in the life of your family, into your wife, into your kids. You know, think about those things that we pour on our family or should do as a father. You know, the top one on my list is I need to love, honor, and cherish my wife. I need to do that. She needs me to do that. And as I do that, and you know, before the message, I had to get reminded from Pastor when, you know, when we use our kids as reference what the payout is. You know, a couple weeks ago, and Natalie's not even in here. She must be messing in children's church or something, or twos and threes. So she doesn't get paid. Yeah, must be present to win, right? Okay? Well, we'll figure that one out later. You know, a couple weeks ago, Natalie gave me one of the best compliments as she was complaining. Dad, stop hugging Mom so much. Yes! You know what Dad said to her, even though she's... Oh, this is sickening. She sees me loving Mom. She sees me loving her mom. Another way we watered our family, just plain loving them, instructing our children into good things. And sometimes, you know, there are some things that we just need to work on. But always in a loving way. That's why it's watering. The things we need to share. Another way we water as fathers is fun. Yes. You like having fun? Yeah, me too. My dad's now in his 80s. He still likes to have fun. He works hard. Fun is important. A couple weeks ago, we hopped on our bikes. We rode up to Walmart to buy good chocolate. I think we actually wore it off on the way back and forth. We rode up there. I kid you not, we just bought two candy bars. That was an impulse, but we had a ball. Have fun, dads. Another way we water is you as a dad model authentic faith and relationship with Jesus Christ. That should be first, but that's actually seen in all the rest of them. Another way we water is, you know, media portrays the husband as a doofus. You know, guys and ladies, you can woohoo this one if you must. She wants to be treated like a queen. But she wants to be treated as a queen by a king. Not a doofus. It'll do us no good to treat her like a queen if we're an idiot. So as we water our wives, nothing like the king who acknowledges the queen. Okay? That's watering. That's the things we put in our life. The next thing we need to do, and we hate this part. I hate this part. How many of you like weeding your garden? Oh, here's crickets. Dawn, this doesn't count because you're a girl. All right? Weeding. Removing the things that choke out the life of your family. Whether it's in that physical garden. Guys, this one is so necessary. Past couple of months, I've been doing some weeding myself. I started with me. God's been bringing some changes in my life, and I prayed for him to show me the corners of the closet I thought was clean. Crud. When we camped up at Mount McHenry, I threw 3 pages of handwritten, well, I typed them, I can't write. I threw 3 pages of weeds in the fire that I needed to burn up. 3 pages. And I thought my closet was clean. I thought my garden was free of weeds. That was hard. It was hard to admit I had 3 pages. It's pretty hard now. I did that to honor my wife. I did that to honor my family. I did that to honor my God. When I placed that in the fire, I gave him full control over the past in lieu of the present. Do you know what? I hated letting go of that. But it was one of the most freeing things I ever did. And then I kicked myself that it took this long to do it. Weeding is hard. It's hard. Weed out the bitterness, the hostility, the apathy. Wishy-washy dad? That's you, apathy. Baggage, unforgiveness. Other manly issues, I'm not even going to list. Weeding our garden. The third thing we can do for our garden is, you know, and maybe before I do that, you know, when you weed, you know, Dawn likes to weed, that's okay. When you weed, what's the best way to get rid of them? Do you just rip them off at the surface? You got to get the roots. You know, I think when I burnt those 3 pages, I had spent a lot of years just ripping the weeds off at the top, doing it the lazy way. I had to get to the roots. Man, you got to get to the roots. You got to. If you want to be a real man, you got to get the roots. If you want to honor and love your family, you got to get the roots. The last thing we do is fencing. Now, if you're like me, I live in the section of town that invites everything that wants to eat what you want to eat. I know Jeff and Dawn, it's the same way. My fence is 4 feet, yours is like 15. Okay? You know, we fence it to keep things out before they get in. You know, we as husbands, fathers, we're responsible for the fence of our family. You know, and as we live this way, you know, our fencing is a deterrent to keep out not only the things, but the people who could eat the flowers of your life. You know, sometimes you may find that you need to take a command decision and there are people posting to Facebook things that your kids don't need to read. You don't need to read. Your wife doesn't need to read. You're responsible. You're responsible to build the hedges around your heart. You know, Nan and I have been reading through Jerry Jenkinson's book, Hedges. It's part of the new changes to make our marriage better. I got to be pretty transparent as we read that. And my hedges are going to be different than yours. But it's a matter of now communication between me and my wife, or my wife and I, however you want to say it. I communicate what I'm building. I communicate with her what she may need to be building as well in her life. And for us collectively, for our families. Those are important. You know, as I kind of bring things to a close, I want you to really think that we don't always get it right. I don't get it right. I'm not going to stand up here and magically say I've always done it right. I think if I were actually keeping score, I would be the person in our household who apologizes the most. And if you're, okay, ladies, cover your ears. The advice I give to the, like, nephews, sons-in-law is learn to apologize when you're right. It stops the problem before it gets bigger. You know, some of you might want to apologize for them. You know, don't do that. You know, and what I share with that is be real. If us as fathers actually acknowledge that, hey, we didn't quite do that one right, it makes a lot of difference to our kids. You know, in talking this week, I know there's at least one person sitting here who has apologized to one of their kids recently. I don't want their reputation to be tarnished, so I won't say who it is. But boy, it could be any one of us out there. We don't actually want to be seen apologizing, so we don't. We have to. You know, as I look at these three things, you know, the watering, the weeding, the fences, we're all different. You may be sitting here this morning and you may be a good waterer. You may be the kind of person who really, you know, I can have fun with my family. I can have fun. I can do this. I can do that. But you know what? You may not be a very good weeder. And as you water your garden, you're going to encourage the weeds. You may pull your weeds effectively. You may work on that. But if you have no fence around your garden, the deer are going to eat it. And really the point of how we live, as we put this to a close, how we live with our wife in an understanding way, and how we live a life with our children as to not provoke them. They need to see balance in you, Dad. You need to be effective at watering. You need to be effective at weeding. You need to be effective at setting hedges. See, we won't drive our kids crazy if we are a balanced package. And I think as you sit here this morning, I think you can agree. You know, sometimes we're not the best balanced. You know, there are days when I do it better than others. And I'm sure it's the same for you. There are days when I fail miserably. But you know what? We apologize. We take that top fork again, don't we? And we live life and we live life and we will make a difference. And as I draw this to a close, you know, think about the bar you want to set for your families as a father. If you set that bar really low, you're probably going to hit it. Set it high. Strive. Pursue. Pursue something worth pursuing. Don't live life mediocre. It's too easy. God doesn't want life to be easy. He said, in this world, you will have trouble. But he also said, I want you to live it to the full. I want you to experience life. And us as men, you set the tone for that family. I don't care what media says. If I don't do well up here, I'm not even getting paid. Okay? So if I offend you, cut my pay. But think about it. Dads, this is the commercial. Men, this book will be here in the back. I think some that there will be those handing them out. Take this. I want to read a chunk of wisdom out of here in closing. A sportsman is I skipped over the scripture. I skipped over the analogies. I went right to the woods. All right? You with me? Woohoo! As hunters, man, I do need to do this a little more country. As hunters, we sometimes fail to do proper scouting. We take for granted that the deer or the turkeys will be where they've always been, and we fail to recognize that changes in the landscape can influence our patterns. The result is that when the season opens, we spend time relearning the landscape rather than hunting. Get out and scout, even if it's just one brief trip to the woods. That has a whole lot more analogy than hunting. That's knowing your wife. That's knowing your kids. You can't just assume that where they are is where they've always been. Keep knowing them. Your kids, your grandkids. Whoa-ho! Okay? Do you get it? I'll take some time here in closing and just ask everyone, just bow your heads and close your eyes a minute. You know, as we close today, you can be sitting here as one of the best dads in the world. I suspect a lot of you could probably use a little help. You know, our example is God the Father. What a hard one. What a hard one to live up to. A lot of us need to change, and it's hard. It's hard to do. We're not called as dads to give up. And I want one thing to remember before we go to prayer is that no piece of ground, our garden, no piece will grow weeds like one that is cultivated. The harder we work at it, the more the enemy's going to want in that garden. All the more reason for fences. So as I close, you know, if you're sitting here this morning as a dad or even a potential dad, if you'd like me to just pray for you in general as we close today, I'm just going to ask you just to raise your hand. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You know, a lot of hands. Father, we thank you for this day. And Lord God, we thank you for being the Father that we can never perfectly be like you. But Lord God, you love us enough that you gave us your very best. Help us, as fathers in this congregation, Lord, to strive to be more like you. Help us to live a life of balance between our watering, our weeding, and our fencing, Lord, to protect our families. Lord, I pray for those who have raised their hands there this morning and those who should have. And Lord, I stand with those who raise their hands. Help us to be better fathers. Help us to live lives of balance. Help us to glorify you first and foremost in our family. Help our families to see our love for them and the fact that we love Jesus Christ. And that he's the model for our everyday operation and model, Lord, for all we do and think. Lord, as we come to a close now, we honor you, Lord God, as our ultimate Father. Lord, we thank you for this time. And we just pray that the challenge, Lord, issued, help us to act on it. Lord, help us to go home, maybe not as perfect fathers, but as fathers who don't want to be mediocre. As fathers who want to live up as opposed to living down. We thank you for this day, Lord, and we honor you in it, and help us each today to honor our fathers. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand.